Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
We're in a series called Up, and it's centered around Ephesians 3, where it talks about the upward call of in Christ. And we are, in essence, doing a whole bunch of weeks preaching about growing in some way or another. Or we had, you know, worship, a week on worship. We've had speaking up. We've had evangelism. There's a whole bunch of different subjects coming under this title. And today, this morning, I'm doing Build Up. And tonight, Paul Manwaring is preaching on Build Up as well. And I know what he's doing. He's going to be looking at the fivefold and expanding on the fivefold ministry found in Ephesians. That the point of the fivefold ministry is to build up or equip the saints. And so please either come tonight or get that on the podcast. We have a video on YouTube as well. And so because of knowing that Paul was doing that, I was just asking God, and all week, God has been very much focusing on one subject in my head. And for those of you who don't know me, when I'm preparing to preach, I ask God kind of way in advance what I'm preaching on. And then I let that, I call it noodling, I let that happen and bubble up and just be meditating on that for a period of time before I actually sit down and write down what God's been saying to me over that period of time. And so obviously the time delay depends on how much I'm preaching, but for this time, it's been about a week, asking God, what is it about building up? What is it about what he wants to say about us being built up, maybe building up others? And the main subject that he's been talking to me about, which is really interesting because there's a load of guests here today, but the main subject he's been talking about is the gift of tongues. And for some of you, if you're not a Christian, then this is going to be a slightly interesting talk because the gift of tongues is one of the strangest things that happens to some Christians. There's some other stuff that's pretty strange, like manifestations and shaking when God touches you, which we saw a little bit of just now, and the presence of God changing. But tongues is a little bit of a weird one. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says that if someone who doesn't know Jesus sees people praying in tongues, they're going to think you might be mad. Because praying in tongues doesn't sound or look like normal speech. Praying in tongues, they did some research in America on praying in tongues, and it's actually a different part of the brain that is active when people are praying in tongues than when they're speaking normal thoughts, normal language. That, for me, was really interesting. Any scientist in the room would be like, ooh, that's really interesting. The rest of you are just like, I don't care. And so I was praying about speaking in tongues. Why are we going after speaking in tongues? Well, the first verse was in Jude that I went to. And I'm going to read it in this version, actually. This is the classic verse that people read when talking about praying in tongues. Jude is a really small book, right at the end of the Bible, just before Revelation. And in Jude, it says, verse 20, "But you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit." The King James says, "But beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." And it's a classic verse that's used by many people when we're talking about praying in tongues. And so I'm going to go for three different subjects, but I may not get to the second or third subject. The first one is about us building ourselves up. Did you know that you have been called by God to build yourself up? Which is really interesting, because most of us, especially in the charismatic movement of which we are part, sit on our backsides waiting for God to do all the hard work, and we don't realize that actually we have responsibilities in this relationship with God. It's not just about him turning up, him doing his thing, him healing everyone, him showing revelation to everyone, him causing this, that, and the other to happen. Actually, we're called to do something as well. to build ourselves up. The second thing was about building each other up, and that would be the whole subject of prophecy. I'm probably not going to go into that, and so, but I really want you to refer you to talks at Close Done on the prophetic. If you can't find them, then chat to one of the team, and we will get you talks on the prophetic. We have a lot of prophetic people in this community of Catch the Fire London. It's probably the biggest or the most numerous gift that we have in Catch the Fire London is the prophetic. What's the prophetic? Well, the prophetic is hearing God and speaking it out to someone. And so there are a number of people in this room who know how to hear God on behalf of someone else or for someone else. And that's, the Bible says that the prophetic is used for edifying or building up other people. And so the first thing is to build up ourselves, and I'm going to focus on that in the majority of the time. But the second thing was to build up each other through prophetic, through listening to God and speaking it out over someone next to you. Did you know that every single person can hear God's voice? Rob and Chloe knew that we could all hear God's voice. Are you aware that all of us can hear God's voice? I'm not necessarily talking about the audible voice. Some of us have heard that once or twice, three times in our lives. But I'm talking about actually hearing what he's saying within and being able to identify that that was God's. And so we have some of our prophetic leaders in the room today. And so if you've never heard the voice of God, then we really want to teach you how to hear the voice of God. Come on a school of ministry, immersion day, something like that, so you can learn how to hear the voice of God. That's number two. So point one is build yourself up. Point two is build others up. I would love for Catch the Fire London, every time you sit down, the first thing you do after saying hello to the person next to you is to listen to God and prophesy over the person next to you. Too many of us are leaving it for the prophetic team and Rob and Sana and Hannah and others who have got a track record of the prophetic, and we're leaving it to them to hear the voice of God. You should actually be prophesying over the person next to you after you've said hello. Sometimes even before you've said hello, you should be building them up, because that's what Christians should do when they're next to each other. So that's point two. Point three, and I'm not sure I'm going to get there because of time, but point three was about building the church up. And God started to speak to me about Nehemiah. So your homework is to read Nehemiah. But there's this piece in, I'll just tell you exactly the verse, Nehemiah 3, 28 and on for a few verses. And it talked about the fact that the people who were, because the book of Nehemiah is about rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, okay? And the Israelites come back, find that there's no wall, and then they start to build the wall. And there's a whole bunch of scriptural and very positive things we can take out of the story of Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah. But the thing that God wanted to speak to me about was in Nehemiah 3, where it talks about the fact that everyone built the wall in front of their house, which is a really interesting little passage where, you know, the idea is to build the whole wall. And in this context, in our now context, the idea would be that we want to build the church. We want to build the kingdom. We want to actually build God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven on earth. That's the point. But the point from Nehemiah is that we are all called to build the bit that we see, the bit that's in front of us. And so don't look to build someone else's vision before you've looked to build the thing around you. And there's a lot of different ways that you could extrapolate that. You should be building the kingdom of God with your neighbors, in your own home, in your workplace. The bit where God has given you, the thing that you see, you should look to build the kingdom of God in that place. And we are a church that really doesn't believe in everyone who wants to work for God doing a me or doing a Tim and becoming paid by the church. We are a church that believes in people going out and the thing that's in front of them building the kingdom of God there. Many of you are in workplace environments. Many of you have families that you spend a lot of time with over the week. And your job, according to Nehemiah, is to build the kingdom of God in what you see. And so wherever you find yourself, build the kingdom of God. If you are in your workplace, tomorrow morning you go to work, build the kingdom of God. If you're in education, you're on 6 weeks holiday, so come into the office and build the kingdom of God there. If you're in a hospital, build the kingdom of God in the wards. If you are in business, then build the kingdom of God through and in your business. The idea being that whatever is in front of you, what's next to your house is what Nehemiah says, but whatever you see, where you see the kingdom of God not being there, start to build that first. And then when you've built the kingdom of God in your own sphere of influence, the bit next to your house, then you can go and help everyone else build the kingdom of God everywhere else. But primarily, we are a church that for 8 years now-ish, nearly 8 years, has been equipping people to build the kingdom of God wherever it is they find themselves. Some of the most dramatic testimonies that we see are not from when we're on mission in Kenya or going to a conference. Some of the most dramatic testimonies that I hear, the ones that really build life inside me when I'm like listening, I'm thinking, wow, that is amazing. When someone tells us that they were at work or they were at home or they were with their next door neighbors or they were just going shopping or wherever it is that they were there and they were building the kingdom of God in that place. Don't get me wrong, we want you to come and help us build the whole kingdom of God and build it within this church and the kingdom that we find here. But primarily, first line, build what you see in front of you. We have a friend who is a manager of a restaurant in London. And I'm going to look over here because she's over there. But some of the testimonies that she comes up with of speaking to people that come into the restaurant about the kingdom of God, about the love of God, about the person of Jesus, about the cross of Jesus Christ. We had the privilege of being in that restaurant recently, and the guy who was our waiter, we ended up at the end of the meal sitting him down and prophesying over him and just speaking life into him. He was so visibly shaken by what God was saying to him through us, and we were just there for a meal. He had to have 10 minutes out because he couldn't collect himself. He couldn't kind of figure out what was going on because God had invaded his world. Build the kingdom of God where you find yourself. And then when you've started to work on that, you can help everyone else build their piece of the kingdom of God as well. We have so many different ministries in this church. We have educators, we have business people, we have people going into the government. Whatever it is, we have dance, we have prophetic, we have worship. There's so many different ministries within this church. So whatever it is that you have a heart for, the thing that you see, build the kingdom of God there. We have people that know what you're thinking. Sometimes you can come to church and you can look at me stood on the stage and think, yeah, but that's not my life. We have someone who knows your life. We have people that have grouped together who understand the heart that you have, the burn inside you. If you're into mission, then we have people that go to mission. If you're into community work, we have people that do that. Kids work, people that do that. Every angle of community, everything that God has placed inside of you, we want to enhance and we want to help you build the kingdom of God with what you see, the thing in front of you. But that's not what I'm preaching on. In Jude, it says, I just read it, but you, dear friends, by building yourself up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit. It's a verse that many Pentecostals and Charismatics use for praying in tongues, which is where I'm going to kind of end up. But can I just say, it's not what it says. It says, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up in your relationship with Jesus. Build yourself up in your relationship with God by not praying in tongues. It says, by praying in the Holy Spirit. And I just felt really strongly that although we're going to be releasing the gift of tongues to a whole bunch of people here this morning, Holy Spirit, I really felt, said to me that there's going to be a release and an upgrade for people's spiritual gifts here this morning. If you don't know what that is, just ask the person next to you. If they don't know, ask Tom. But primarily, it's not about tongues. Tongues is a gift that is given from the Holy Spirit, but the primary focus is about being in the Holy Spirit. And we did this when we talked about the gifts, and we did a whole series on the gifts and the fruit and all those sorts of things. It's about being in the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? What does praying in the Holy Spirit look like? Well, sorry for being basic, simple, but praying in the Holy Spirit means being in the Holy Spirit and praying. What's the emphasis? In the Holy Spirit. The emphasis is to have a relationship and an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a Christian, if you've said yes to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You may not ever have recognized that. You may never have identified that. You may never have said hello to the Holy Spirit, even though he's been living with you the moment you said yes to Jesus. That's not the point. The point is you have a potential from this moment onwards to allow the Holy Spirit and you to have an intimacy, which is you being and living in the Holy Spirit. Living in the Holy Spirit basically means to have a communication, a conversation, and an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Then, when you are living in the Holy Spirit, every prayer that comes out of your mouth is in the Holy Spirit. Some of those will be tongues, but some of those will be English or whatever your native language happens to be. We had a couple who are now living in Jersey, Christine and Andy. And Christine joined the church before Andy, I think, and years ago, right near the start of the church. And she's a Brazilian, and he's from Jersey. She came in, and she started to become a British person, is the best way I could kind of describe it. She thought that being a Christian in this environment meant to kind of become more anglicized, become more British, to become more English. And I was seeing this happen over a couple of months as even her accent started to become more British. Her prayer changed from being Brazilian prayer to English prayer. And don't get me wrong, I like people who live in this country to think English, okay? That's quite a good thing for living in the country. But the point is, and I rebuked her at one point, I said, stop it. I knew her. Well, we had a pastoral relationship. Chloe and I, we'd known her for a few years at that point, and I was like, stop it. God has called you to be a Brazilian. He's called you to pray Brazilian. He's called you to be on fire in a Brazilian way. He's called you to expand the kingdom of God in a Brazilian way. I don't want you becoming English. I want you being exactly who God has created you to be and praying in that way, living in that way, ministering in that way, and expanding the kingdom of God in that way. Sometimes praying in the Holy Spirit will be praying in the tongue that you dream in, which tends to be where you feel you're rooted. If you're not English origin, but you dream in English, then you are English rooted. That's the psychologist's way of looking at it. Whatever language you dream in is your primary language, is where your roots are. If you dream in Nigerian, praying in the Holy Spirit will often be Nigerian. If you dream in Brazilian, praying in the Holy Spirit will be often praying Brazilian. I want you to be you. I want you to be exactly who God has called you to be, and then in the Holy Spirit, praying in that way. Okay, here's a little bit of theology. Oh, let me talk about tongues. The first time I ever heard someone pray in tongues, I was in the third year of university. So I was 21 years old. I got saved at some point before that. I'm not one of these people who has a testimony where I can pinpoint an exact moment where, you know, the clouds opened, the dove fell, and I became a Christian. I just don't have that experience. I kind of maybe became a Christian when I was 11 years old at a big rally crusade, but I also think I went forward because everyone else in the rally went forward. There was like 20,000 people in the stadium, and pretty much 20,000 people went forward, and I think I just didn't want to be left in the stands on my own, and so I went forward. So I don't know if I became a Christian at that point. I definitely made decisions along the way, and I definitely made a decision when I started at university at 18 years old, because I looked into what happened to the resurrection of Jesus, and I decided that he rose from the dead. I looked at all the scientific possibilities of what happened, and I became a Christian at that point. Anyway, 3 years later, I was not very happy Christian. So I become a Christian. I definitely cemented that decision in my head, but it hadn't really changed me, and I wasn't very happy. I didn't really like Christians. I don't know if you've met them. They're a bit weird. And I went to the CU because that's what Christians are supposed to do at university, and I really did not get on with it. And bless her, if I'd gone now, I would have had a totally different mindset, but I was so arrogant and so weird in the way I was thinking at that time. I went to the Christian Union, and this girl said, I stubbed my toe on the curb coming into the Christian Union, and praise God I didn't break my leg. And I was like, you wouldn't have broken your leg anyway. That's just Christians are ridiculous. And that was my mindset. It's just kind of like, why do Christians are just all ridiculous? And I just made all of these judgments in my heart. So what does a Christian who goes to CU but doesn't like the CU do? I took over the CU. And so I became the leader of the CU with such arrogance and such weird thinking. Oh, it was just terrible. It was a bad idea. I mean, God covered it, but it was a bad idea. That was 2 years later, year three of university. And this girl joined the CU, and she started speaking in tongues. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard someone speaking in tongues, but it is seriously weird. But I also knew it was biblical. And I also knew some people thought that if you were a real Christian, you spoke in tongues. Because some people believe that. The moment you become a Christian, you will speak in tongues. I believe, just to put this one to bed, I believe you can speak in tongues the moment you become a Christian. But it's not always exactly that way. Sometimes someone needs to teach you. Sometimes you need the revelation that's even possible. And so, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the fact that, like Peter would go to people and say, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Like, we just got baptized in the name of Jesus. And so sometimes there's stages. I believe that everyone could and maybe should speak in tongues the moment that they're saved, but I don't think it always happens like that. So anyway, I was a Christian, didn't speak in tongues. This woman was, and so I got jealous. She was more spiritual than me. And so I started asking God for the gift of tongues. Now, the origin of that request was totally ungodly. When I started asking God for the gift of tongues, I was just doing it because I was the leader of the CU, and there's someone here who's more spiritual than me, so I need that gift so that I can still be the leader, because obviously leaders have to be the best at everything. And so that, I know. And so, don't worry, seriously, I'm happy. So this girl speaking in tongues, I'm jealous of the girl speaking in tongues. I want the gift of tongues. God didn't give it to me. Now, there's a problem. So I'm the leader of the CU, and I am upset with God. I am saying, I want the gift of tongues. You're not giving it to me. What's wrong? I may be not spiritual, and I built up all these ungodly beliefs. Anyway, after a few months of me asking God for the gift of tongues, my heart changed and the motive of the request changed. I did some research into the gift of tongues, and I started to look at the fact that there's a lots of different types of tongues, actually. 1 Corinthians 12:28, it talks about the diversities of tongues. There are lots of different types of tongues, and we're going to focus on three here this morning. And so my motive for the gift of tongues changed. I realized through the research that I did and the Bible studies that I did that the gift of tongues is a love language. That the gift of tongues is something that happens from heaven, but it happens in our spirit from heaven. And then the gift of tongues rises up from that place. I'm talking about one specific type of tongue. And I started to yearn for the gift of tongues from the right place. I started to ask God from the right place, would you give me this gift of tongues? I'm reading 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 a lot because it talks a lot about tongues in those chapters. And I'm just like, God, I want the gift of tongues. Why do I want it? It wasn't now because of this girl that got the gift. It wasn't just because I wanted to be more spiritual. It's because a love language, a language between my spirit and God, that sounds awesome. Now, at that point, I still didn't understand intimacy with God properly. I just liked the idea of a language that went from my spirit to God. And after a few months of praying and saying, I want a love language. I want a love language to God. I want to be able to speak to God in that way. And after about 4 months, I got the gift of tongues. So I was walking along, and I can still remember the time. I was on a path from the main lecture room in university and the halls of residence where loads of other people stayed. I stayed out in a house, but loads of other people stayed. And I was walking along there, and I started to speak in tongues. I was like, ooh! That's a love language. I don't know if this inspires you, but the idea of having a love language between my spirit that I don't even understand, but knowing that that is an expression of love to God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, I was like, that's awesome. And I was like, am I making it up? Is this the Holy Spirit inside of me, or is this me? I really needed to know. I wouldn't recommend this, but I was very immature in my Christianity at this point. So what I did was I thought a nasty thought about someone. Because I wanted to test it. I wanted to test if this was the Holy Spirit. So if I took my eyes off the Holy Spirit and thought bad thoughts about someone because I didn't like that person, then scientifically I concluded that if the tongue stopped at that point, then it probably wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit because me diverting my mind from godly to ungodly stopped the flow of what God was doing inside of me. And so I thought it's bad thought about this person I didn't really like. And the tongue stopped. from that moment, I've been speaking in tongues. Pretty much every day, sometimes a lot of the day. Been speaking in tongues. Now, I understand a lot more about tongues now than I did then, but I just felt God wanted to release that inspiration, that hunger to people. Because you may speak in tongues and it may be a warfare language to you, or you may be speaking in tongues when it's intercession or whatever it may be, and that's all legitimate. But I wanted to release a hunger amongst this family that said, I want to speak in tongues because it's a love language. I want to speak in tongues because it's something of a communion, it's a relationship, it's a connection between me and God. Wow. Very quickly, and then we're going to release the gift of tongues. And Holy Spirit will do what Holy Spirit does. I don't control Holy Spirit. I'm not going to define 8 people who are going to receive that gift today. We're going to position ourselves to receive the gift of tongues. And we're going to ask Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. For some of you, you'll be asking for the gift of tongues and God's got to work on your heart first. For some of you, you'll be asking for the gift of tongues and you'll get the gift of miraculous works. How many people are not that bothered? If you get the gift of miraculous works, that's a good day at the office, isn't it? He will do what he does. 3 types of tongues that God was speaking to me about. One is xenoglossia, and that's the type of tongues that is released in Acts 2. And so if you've read your Bible, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and all the apostles start speaking in languages that they have not learnt. That's called xenoglossia. Glossia is tongue. Xeno is people groups. And so it's the language of people coming out. When the Holy Spirit comes, sometimes you get a language. 2 testimonies. The first time I ever heard someone speak in tongues was in All Souls in London, in Langham Place. Richard Bues was preaching. That's how I became a Christian. And I went back there a few times after that. And this woman was speaking in tongues. And the woman next to her started to cry. And I thought, oh, that's cute. But then at the end of the service, the woman who started crying turned to the person and said, when did you learn Russian? She's like, what are you talking about? She said, when you were praying earlier in the service, you were speaking in Russian, which is my language, and you were telling me that God really loves me and that God sees me and that God wants to rescue me from the pit of miry clay and pull me up into his place. I can't remember the whole word, but she heard Russian, even though the woman had never learned Russian. That's awesome. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talks about the fact that when someone who doesn't know God comes in and hears that, it will be a sign to them. The other testimony we have, Duncan Smith, many of you know, is one of our senior leaders. And Duncan had a bunch of different tongues, but they were all very quick tongues. They were all very specific words that he would just repeat over and over. And the classic one was, he used to say, Bungu Bengi Banga, which sounds ridiculous. But he'd say it in prayer, so everyone kind of put up with it, you know? And he'd be like, Bungu Bengi Banga. And we're just like, yeah, okay. And he was at a conference in somewhere Western, and these 3 black ladies came up and they said, do you know what you're saying? I'm like, no, it's tongues. It's just the tongues of angels, which we'll get to in a second. I'm like, no, that's not the tongues of angels. That's the tongues of man. What you are saying is the same word, but in 3 South African dialects, Southern African dialects, should I say. And he's like, really? That's amazing. They said, yeah, we're from 3 different tribes in the southern countries of Africa, and you're saying the same word in 3 different languages. That is cool. He's like, what word is it? Remember, these are 3 black ladies in front of Duncan, who's a white man. All right? So Duncan's like, what word is it? This is awesome. It must be God. Oh, I'm so excited. And Duncan, as you probably know, if you know him, gets very excitable. And so they said, what you're saying is, the white men, the white men, the white men. So Duncan's like, that's terrible. And so he gets all embarrassed because he's not racist, but that sounds really racist. And he's black lady, oh my word. So he's having a freak out inside. Now they see his face and they're like, what's the matter? He said, I'm so sorry if I've offended you. I didn't know. I thought it was the tongues of angels. And they were like, they looked at him and they said, oh, no. Let me, and this is them talking to him. 3 black ladies talking to this white man. It's not a race thing. You're not a white man. You're an off pink man. The white men are the angels. tomb. That is awesome. How many people want to have that? I know Tom's asking for, is it Arabic? Just a language that you never learnt that you are able to communicate in. I had a friend who went to, they heard in a, how much time I got? 10 minutes. Another story about the tongues of men, the Xenoglossia. Had a, this guy, friend of a friend, who ended up hearing in a soaking time. So they're soaking, God speaks, and what they heard was, go to Kyrgyzstan. So like, what would you like us to do there, Lord? Didn't hear anything else. All they heard was, go to Kyrgyzstan once. But they were obedient to what they heard. So him and his friend booked tickets to go to Kyrgyzstan. No idea what they were going to do in Kyrgyzstan, had open-ended tickets because they didn't know. Like in their heads, they're thinking, we're going to go. There's, because they've heard the stories, you know, the charismatic stories where you turn up in a country and no one, you didn't have any communication, but there's already a conference and your face is on the flyer and there's thousands of people. And so they went to Kyrgyzstan expecting an awesome sort of conference and they're going to heal the sick and it's going to be magic, you know, awesome. And anyway, so they went to Kyrgyzstan. They got off the plane and there was no one there to meet them. And they're like, oh, maybe it's not one of those stories. And they got off the plane and then they're like, God, we're just like stood in an airport. What do you want us to do? And they just heard a name. They heard a name from God and it was a name of an area in the town. So they went to this area, got a taxi to this area. They're still expecting the big conference, lots of healing the sick, raising the dead, going to be famous, going to write a book, you know. And they went to this park and there was just no one there. And then this person turned up and basically they started to, this person couldn't speak English. So they looked at each other and like, oh, what do we do? Like, how are we going to change the history of the world if we can't actually communicate? So they're just like, well, let's just pray in tongues. So they prayed in tongues and for about 20 minutes. And the guy was praying in tongues back to them. And bit of a weird situation. I don't know if you've ever been in praying in tongues and looking at someone else who's praying in tongues. That's a little bit odd and a little bit fruity. Anyway, so they're praying in tongues, person's praying in tongues, and then the guy just walks off. I think it's 2 years later, they found out through someone, that guy had just been given a download of revelation from their tongues. They were speaking perfect Kyrgyzstani. Whatever the word is for Kyrgyzstan language. They were speaking fluent Kyrgyzstan language. And they gave that guy a whole strategy for the next 2 years. And this whole thing of God ended up in Kyrgyzstan because of what happened. And they just literally, firstly, obey what you hear. That's a great testimony for that. But they're speaking in fluent Kyrgyzstan. So there's someone speaking fluent Russian. Duncan's speaking in three different languages. Of Southern African languages, and they're speaking in pure Kyrgyzstan. How many people want an upgrade? Seriously, this isn't making you hungry, then you need to slap yourself. Okay, the second one, Angeloglossia, the tongues of angels. There's one charismatic and Pentecostal myth I want to break right now. In 1 Corinthians 14, let's just go there. The tongues of angels. This is the one where I wanted to really focus on. And the third one isn't an official one, but it's a biblical one. 1 Corinthians 14. We believe in tongues and interpretation. They're two different gifts in Corinthians. And so we believe, and we want to start a culture, a safe culture, where people start to actually speak what God is putting in their heart, even if they don't understand what it is. Now, part of that's a prophetic culture, but part of it is also this idea of the gift of tongues. What we don't want is you in your insecurity wanting someone to look at you, standing up in the middle of me preaching and going, Shakarabakundiye! That's not appropriate. But what we want to do is raise up people speaking in tongues, and this is why. But the interpretation is really interesting. I'm going to do a story, and then I'm going to read the verse. We were in Fakenham Baptist Community Church, which is where we kind of became a little bit charismatic. It's where the church we were in when Chloe got healed and all that kind of stuff. And we just started, the church was just starting to move in the charismatic. And then someone stood up in the middle of worship and louder than the worship just spoke a word in tongues. And then Flicky, who many of you know, who's at New Wine at the moment, Chloe's mum, she stood up and with absolute terror on her face said, I think I have the interpretation. And then she said an interpretation which was an awesome word. She said, I believe, I can't remember the exact context, but it's something like, I believe God is saying, my people need to spend more time in worship and not just coming together as a group. Worship is really important, okay? So it was a word from God. Everyone got that? It was a word from God. And everyone went, amen. And then Flicky came up to me and she said, it didn't feel right. And I was like, it didn't feel right. It sounded awesome. It sounded like a great prophetic word, but I don't believe it was the interpretation of the Angelo Glossia that just happened. The reason is this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Angelo Glossia, the love language, the tongues of angels, Angelo Glossia, it's the tongue of angels. When we get that gift and we start to speak in the tongues of angels, it's upward. It's not downward. Because those who speak in a tongue speak to God. So when Flicky gave her interpretation, which was God speaking, I believe that was God speaking through Flicky, but it was a prophetic word. Awesome. We love prophetic words. If you have a prophetic word for this leadership, if you have a prophetic word for this church, if you have a prophetic word for the person next to you, please release it. Do it with grace. I believe God is saying this. And then you say it. No dates, mates, or babies. But you release it because we really want to hear what God is saying. But when it comes to the interpretation of tongues, it should be upward, according to this verse. Ooh, that's just put pay to a whole bunch of Pentecostal teaching. It's what the Bible says. Angelo Glossia is the tongues of angels. It goes from our spirit upwards, and it's a worship love language. And so we get the opportunity and we get the ability to speak to God that doesn't include our heads. Has anyone ever been in a prayer meeting and you've run out of things to say? It's like, no, never happened. Not once. I can pray for 8 hours straight. Well, for the rest of us, sometimes we're in prayer meetings and we're not sure what to say, but we still feel something. Tongues of angels. At that point, the tongues of angels comes into action. It's a language between our spirit and God. It's a love language. And that's what we're going to be releasing today. I'm not going to go into it, but I want you to read James 3, which is where your tongue is used for bad stuff. Don't do that. The tongues of angels. How many people want the tongues of men, Xenoglossia, to be able to speak, next time you're on holiday, to be able to speak fluently in that language, get everyone in that village saved because you don't have to try and work out the words of what is the translation of sanctification anyway? Wouldn't it be just great if you got the language and you just released it? Come on. But I also, the main focus of today is to reconcile your spirit with the Spirit of God and to release a love language into your heart. People are like, I don't know what to pray. Love him. I don't know what to sing. Love him. I don't know how, when these guys go spontaneous and I don't know the words to the thing that they're saying, what should I do? Love him. Do you know what? The most effective language that can come out of your mouth is, I love you, Jesus. Start there. And what I've found in years of allowing and facilitating people speaking in tongues and speaking in the language of heaven, even that sentence, seriously, how many people are inspired by the sentence? How many people want to speak in the language of heaven? It's a love language. It's a release from your spirit. It's about knowing who Jesus is and loving him well. And when you're just like, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, you're amazing. Thank you for all that you've done, but I love you for who you are. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit is attracted to the emotions on the words. And then the Holy Spirit often will jump on those words and you start to go from a love language in English to a love language in angel language. And at that moment, you have the potential to build yourself up. You have the potential to touch the heart of God that you could never do in your English. You have the potential to change the environment around you. Why? Because you're filling it with the language of heaven. Jackie Pullinger in Hong Kong used to speak in tongues for 90% of the time she was awake. just moving around, doing the washing up, walking down the streets, speaking in tongues. Why? Because it's a love language to heaven. It's angelic language. And when we speak that language, it changes the environment that we're in. It only changes the environment when it's coming from us. You can't make this stuff up. That doesn't count. It's pointless exercise. But when you release the tongues of heaven, when you release the angelic language from your spirit, there is something beautiful about that moment. For those of you who already have the gift of tongues, my job this morning was to encourage you that there are different types of tongues. The third one I was going to talk about was the groans. Sometimes inaudible, sometimes a murmuring. That's a whole new area where you are just you and Jesus. But then there's this angeloglossia which comes up. If you have the gift of tongues, I wanted you to explore the homework, the activation from this is to explore what does it look like to love him well with the language of heaven. And also to be asking him for the xenoglossia, the language of men. That's a gift. It may come and it may even go, but that is a gift that all of us should be hungry for. But I really wanted us to understand that there are two different things going on here. And that if your spirit isn't engaged, if you are not loving Jesus in that moment, then the tongues of angels is not going to happen. That's what I believe. Who wants to love Jesus better? Why don't you stand? If you grew up in most Christian traditions, then you're going to have some questions from what I've just said, and I really want to hear those questions, so please just email me. There are at least three different types of tongues. I want us to be asking God for the tongues of men so that we can minister. Even if you are free on Wednesday mornings, then Phil wants to hear from you to help with our mums and toddlers group. How many languages spoken in that room? 25 different languages spoken in our mums and toddlers group. How many people want to walk in there and speak fluent Syrian? Come on. How awesome would that be? So that's on the prayer list. That's the ask from God. But the agenda for this morning was to encourage and release a love language from your spirit to the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God. And if you've never received that gift, if you've never released a love language, a heavenly language from your spirit, then I want to firstly repent on behalf of anyone who has made you feel second best for not having the gift of tongues, because that is demonic theology. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are a child of God. It doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth at that point. You are a child of God and you are the apple of his eye. You are his favorite. And so the gift set that you have is secondary to that. And so I just want to wash off any condemnation or shame of not having the gift of tongues. But I also want to release a hunger for the gift of tongues. I want you to be like me, not in the first half of my little journey where it was all about jealousy. I want something inside of you that says, oh my word, I want to love Jesus better. I want to love Jesus better. And some of you have had the gift of tongues, but you've never actually defined a difference between what may be going on, where it's coming from, and what it looks like. And if that's you, then I want the Holy Spirit to come and to start to shepherd the gift within you and start to grow the gift within you. Speaking in tongues is just like any other gift. We have to use the muscle. We have to practice. We have to grow in this area. Some of you have been speaking in tongues for years, but it's been limited in language. Through the Holy Spirit, to break open the possibilities of language in your heavenly tongue. If any of that resonates with you, then I want you to come to the front. If you've never received the gift of tongues or you want an expansion in the language that you have, then I want you to come. If you have never received the gift of tongues, I'm going to ask you to come over by the piano side. And if you want an expansion, then come over this side, because I want the ministry team to know exactly what they're praying for. You are loved the way you are. This morning is about increasing your capacity to love Jesus back. Let's get some ministry team at the front, please. If you want to receive first, that's fine, but I really want some people praying with those who have never received the gift of tongues. If you right now have never received the gift of tongues, or even if you're coming here for an expansion in your language, it's what I heard the Lord say when I was preparing this, then I want you just to love him right now. Because it's not just something that happens. And for those who have never had the gift of tongues, I want to just correct some of you may be thinking that it's like a possession of your tongue, that it happens without you knowing, that it's just something that kind of is released within you. That's not the way it works. The way it works is by you speaking. It's not a possession of your tongue and the Holy Spirit starts to make words. It's your language that becomes heavenly. And so you need to actually start to verbalize love for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will give you the gift in the language. It's not something that just erupts from you with you having no control over your tongue. That is not the gift of tongues. I just see the beauty of Jesus starting to be revealed to you, his children, right now. And in that beauty, there was a smile that came over your countenance, and that there was a release as a kind of a response to the beauty of Jesus in the gift of tongues.
And I want to encourage you, for those that are hungry for expansion. We were in Kenya, walking around our land with all of our Kenyan team, and they asked me to pray, and I prayed in English, so I thought. And then afterwards, the manager said to Stu and I, "When did you learn Swahili?" And they heard what I said in Swahili, but I didn't feel any different. I thought I was speaking in English, and it was literally... The Lord does what he wants to do, but get hungry. As Stu said, ask him. Come on, ask him from the depth of your being. Show him. Lord, we want to impact the nations. And if that's scriptural, you need to give us the language to impact the nations as well. God, we're hungry for the more. We're hungry to reach the unsaved. We're hungry to get under the radar of people, God, to release the kingdom. And Holy Spirit, over every single person right now, we ask that you'd thicken your presence, that you'd rise up, that you'd stir them in the depth of their being. And we release you, we release you, we release you with the power of the Holy Spirit to worship him in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, find the Holy Spirit. Welcome him. Welcome him. Love him. Adore him.
Remember, it's a love language. If you are receiving the gift right now, I want you to just start with, "I love you, Jesus." Keep moving those words around your mouth, and the Holy Spirit will start to be attracted to the love that's in your heart and in your mouth. And I don't know, this may be me just being ridiculously scientific, but when I was asking God for an upgrade in my language, an enhancement in the language that I was using in the heavenly realms, he said, do you know what he said to me? Literally, this is what I heard him say. Start using words with F in. And I was like, huh. It never occurred to me that my language had been limited by the consonants that I was used to in my language. And so for some of you are like, what on earth? Some of you, that's going to be helpful to. And just ask the Holy Spirit if there's a limit because of the way you actually shape the words. Maybe God's giving you a new consonant. Come on, just start to release it. Release it from your spirit right now. Yeah, it's all about the beauty of God. It's just fixing our eyes onto Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, and responding to that. Some of you are asking, what about the warfare tongue? And I'm like, yep, Worship is your warfare. Loving Jesus in every situation and applying that love of Jesus into that situation is warfare. Those praying for the people receiving tongues, I just encourage you, release that gift. Release the gift of tongues, but then pray in tongues next to them. Surround them with tongues. It's not a level of spirituality that releases tongues. It's literally a love for Jesus. You need to know him. You need to see him. If you do not know Jesus in this room, I really want you to come and talk to me. If you've never said yes to Jesus, but you just happen to be here because your family are here, then I want you to come and talk to me, because I really want to welcome you into the family of God. Because it's in the knowing of Jesus, in that connectivity, in the intimacy with Holy Spirit, that you start to have gifts released into your life. It's being in him, in praying in the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, I just heard the Lord say, moments like this are building you up. They are edifying you. They are making you stronger. Right now, strength is being released into the core of your soul because of what your spirit is engaged in, and the way that it is plugged into heaven, the way that you are intimate with the Holy Spirit right now is releasing a strength and a building up and an edifying of the core of your soul. Yeah, Holy Spirit, would you come right now and baptize every willing heart? Baptize the bodies, baptize the spirits, God. Holy Spirit, come, release a baptism. Release a baptism, an immersion of your presence, an immersion of who you are. And some of you are going to have tongues release when you start to sing as opposed to speak, and that's awesome. It doesn't have to be a song, but it might be a song. And it may be that you just get one word and that you repeat that word, and that's good too. Any angelic tongue is an angelic tongue, and that is amazing. Some of you need to commit to using times in your world at the moment, dead space, for speaking in tongues, singing in tongues, and releasing an edification of yourself and the people around you. What I mean by that is people who have got long car journeys, people that are commuting, people that go for walks, people that walk your dog, people that go for cycle rides. Start to use that time for building yourself up in God, in your most holy faith. Immersed in the Holy Spirit. Right now, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I release a baptism of God, an immersion in his presence, a release of who he is, surrounding and filling every willing heart. Surrounding and filling every willing heart. If you've never spoken in tongues before, but you are speaking in tongues right now, just exercise that muscle. Just start to release it a little bit more. Even if it's a repetition of what you've already done, then that is absolutely awesome. Let's get some ministry team by the piano, please.
It is confidence. So, you know, don't be shy. The person next to you is not listening. And I just felt that we ought to end this time. Just start to raise the volume of your tongue right now. You're joining with angels. You're joining with angels to declare the glory of the risen Lord. So, Father, I ask even now that you would lift up, as we lift up our voices, that you would take this as sweet incense to your throne. We join with the angels. We declare in our tongue that you're worthy. King Jesus, King Jesus, King Jesus, let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you come? Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. We release the cat where you've been squashed over the past or in the past. We release the cat. We release the well, the love language of heaven from the depth of your heart. We release the well of love, the well of passion that joins with the angels to sing, that joins with the angels to declare. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. You change atmospheres with the power of your heavenly language. You pierce darkness with your tongue when you join with the Holy Spirit in Him. Worthy, worthy, worthy. I'll often go between a tongue and an English word, and I'll flow between the two. And it's like declaring to the world one thing and joining with heaven at the same time. Declaring to the atmosphere of the world, He's worthy. And then going into a tongue. You have all the glory, Jesus. I remind my soul, He has all the glory of my heart. I give it to Him. Just grab a hold of the hand of the person next to you. If you don't know them, just put your hand on their shoulder and let's just end together, focusing. Father, we come together in unity. And I want to encourage you, when I'm drying my hair, I pray in tongues. I don't have empty space. I pray in tongues. When I'm, like Stu is saying, washing up, when I'm in the shower, the first thing I start to do is declare He's worthy, and it goes into a heavenly love language. And so I release an impartation of not having empty gaps of nothingness, but commanding your soul to join with heaven in declaring He's worthy. So come on, just as we close right now, Father, we join in unity and we ask that you'd release a new level of the language of tongues into our church family to bring about a glory of the risen Lord, a warfare tongue, a worship tongue, a love tongue. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would thicken your presence and remind us. Remind us. To be in the Holy Spirit. And then in normal language, just pray for your friend. Just pray that the love song of heaven, as you go to Jersey, guys, that you would release a new level of tongues into that place. As you step foot into your office, that your tongue would change atmospheres without having to exchange words on earth. Set yourself a challenge. We challenge ourselves on car journeys to pray in tongues for 15 minutes. We challenge ourselves. Start with 2 or 3 minutes. But build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you with new babies, pray in tongues over their cots. Pray in tongues over them. Pray in tongues as you change their nappies. Worship in tongues. Let it become part of your new baby's life. hearing the sound of the tongues in the Holy Spirit. We're going to leave this place as a quiet place, as a place between you and God. And I want to bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you this week. And may you find him in the Holy Spirit. Find him and go to new levels of worship and adoration with him this week. You're welcome to stay. Keep going. Keep going. You're changing atmospheres. You're shifting atmospheres. I believe someone's going to walk along a road in London this week and you're going to sense darkness. And I felt the Lord say, don't focus on the darkness, shift to your heavenly tongue. And something's going to happen where people are going to start to see a physical representation of Jesus or heaven around you. So just know, as soon as you engage with heavenly tongues, things happen. People will see the heavenly realm ministering around you. Expect to be a magnet to the angelic on the streets of London when you start to speak in tongues, because they hear. Heaven hears. Heaven hears. If you're pregnant, start to sing in tongues, pray in tongues, declare in tongues, in and around and above your belly, as it were, your womb. Let the baby know that this is a natural language. It's a natural language for them to be born into, hearing, sensing, feeling. Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes the answer to seeing darkness is going to be to just sing from your heart in tongues, and walls will come tumbling down. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Some of your faces, some of your heads have started to lift up as you're learning and growing and digging deeper into your language of tongues. It's unto the King. He's the lifter of your head. He's the lifter of your head. The beauty of your presence, God. One more thing, there's still a few of you here, and I want to encourage you. When I'm in my prayer room and I know that I'm overcoming something in a moment, or we're needing to be overcomers, sometimes my tongue will change in definition and strength and speed. And when I see something I need overcoming and I have no words, I say, Holy Spirit, would you anoint me at a new level of authority as I focus on you? And my tongue language will sometimes speed up and become a bit more ferocious. And I know I've switched in a moment in authority. That doesn't mean I'm doing battle. I still have a language to heaven. because he's doing battle. But sometimes he'll thicken his presence, and I'll know that in that moment, something is shifting somewhere. The classic example is the witch doctor who Stu was speaking to. And I was behind a tree declaring in tongues. And suddenly I felt the power of the Holy Spirit on me. My tongue changed as I looked at the witch doctor. I fell in love with Jesus more, and I felt love for him, and a power of tongue came out. And Stu said he heard it, and the witch doctor's language completely changed, and that was the moment he submitted. And when God wants something to happen, whatever way, submit, and your language may change. You may not be in the moment with Stu, as it were, in that moment, but God knows what's happening. And so know that your prayer language shifts things even if you're not there. You don't have to be the one on the ground. You focus on the King. You focus on the atmosphere of heaven. Listen. You just carry on. It's good. It's good. Building yourself up. Building yourself up with him, in him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to challenge you to do what you're doing now in your prayer room. And if you didn't listen to last week's evening service, and if you weren't there, we're going to encourage you, because it was a corporate word for Catch Your Fire London. Find your prayer room, find your war room, and then start practicing, even with the releasing of tongues, again to a new level. Thank you, Jesus. Finish when you need to finish. Feels that he's still ministering to you, and that's amazing. You keep praying.